Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this December 14th, 2017. This is Payman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School at livefreenow.org, your source for freedom answers that actually work. Educating and empowering you, the American people, on how to live free of repressive taxation and control. If you have not been to our website at livefreenow.org, be sure to do that. Sign up for our free freedom education package that will be mailed to you at no charge and emailed to you also over the course of many months at no charge to you. Check out our victories, how Freedom Law School students have beaten the IRS, and so has Freedom Law School and myself beaten the IRS and live free now, so that you get an idea that you can also do the same, my friends. You can also live free. Freedom Law School have had said for over 20 years, we've been saying, and I've been saying, that there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. And Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward has been known by the IRS for at least 18 years. But no IRS employee, lawyer, manager ever attempts to collect it, because the crooks in the deep state IRS know that they are scamming and robbing the American people while they keep us entertained with, well, entertainment, sports, movies, television shows, music, makeup, dancing, fun that. They get to steal and rob from us due to our ignorance and sleeping on our rights. Well, Freedom Law School will show you the solutions you're looking for. And be sure to also check out our Freedom courses and Freedom packages that also offer you further, deeper education answers, as well as assistance and even letter writing responses for you to keep the IRS off your back and winning. If you have any issues, call us. Freedom Law School will answer your questions free on Commerce Call like this tonight. On these calls like tonight, I will be covering a subject of freedom issue that you want to know about. Then I will be answering your questions. Tonight, I'll be covering part two from last week. Last week, on December 7th, 2017, I did part one of showing you how to stop your employer from stealing taxes illegally from your paycheck by showing them the federal law's actual text. Actual words. So if you have not listened to that call, please do so. I've broken up this subject into several calls so that I can go over them with you in more detail and more slowly, so that you will clearly understand these issues for yourself. It is very important, folks, that you understand these things for yourself. I do not want you to simply take my word or the word of government or anyone else. I want you to be able to really, truly understand, read and understand the law for yourself, so that you can stand up to the corrupt bureaucrats, the deep states that's been taking over America for a long time, long before Donald Trump came across them. You hear it talk about it in the news on Sean Hannity and other television shows that the deep state is fighting Donald Trump, the intelligence community, the FBI, U.S. Department of Injustice. Yes. But the deep state been at it fighting against the American people like you much longer than that. And thanks to Donald Trump being president, now the deep state is getting exposure. So what we are doing is really exposing the corrupt deep state and helping you find solutions to live free out of their corrupt, money-hungry mafia clutches. So just to review what we covered last time, on the last conference call, I basically showed you guys that in the federal tax laws are in a set of laws called Category or Title 26 of the United States Code, USC for short, Section 7701. The IRS code is also another name for Title 26 of the United States Code. Under Code Section 7701, many things are defined. Many things are defined of that in the IRS code. And 7701A16 specifically defines withholding agents. And if you read that law, you will see it refers to four other code sections, because it says that withholding applies to anybody required to withhold under those four sections. And those four sections, 1441, 1442, 1443 and 1461 all deal with withholding from foreigners, foreign entities, corporations, partnerships, tax exempt organizations, non-resident aliens, not the average wage earner, salaried person like you. So I went over that issue. I'll be going over it again tonight out of necessity. And what we are going to do tonight is basically go over that with your congressman. What Freedom Law School wants you to do is to write to your congressman about this, and not just one of them, but all three of them. You have two U.S. senators and one House of Representative member. Combined, they are called your congressman. I want you to write a letter to them. And very importantly, print out and include a copy of these laws I just mentioned in your letter. You attach a photocopy of the laws that you obtain from the website of the House of Representatives of the United States government, the official website of the United States House of Representatives. So you're not getting the law from some off-the-wall website, somebody else's claim. Straight from the horse's mouth. And in your letter, you confront these public servants of us with the fact that the deep state, the crooked bureaucracy, judges, who are the tools of the big banks and corporations. These tools are put there by the politicians, who are the tools of the big banks and corporations, who pay the election and re-election advertising campaigns of politicians. that they're ripping off you and the American people. They're deceiving and forcing employers to withhold and steal money out of your paycheck, even though wages and salaries are clearly not listed as even an item of gross income, something that's taxable in the IRS code itself. And all of this is even further solidified by the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court has clearly said that tax laws got to be very specific and clear and clearly mention specifically whatever is being taxed. You cannot tax things by implying, by implication. You cannot say, well, obviously it covers this as well. It's got to be clearly, specifically there already. So that's unanimous Supreme Court decision. We're going to go over that again a little bit also. So I'm going to give you this letter, which actually this letter, by the way, that I'm going to cover with you, it's not completely done, but, and it could be written differently, by the way. You don't have to write the letter that Paimon, the president of Freedom Law School, has written. This is just a sample letter, just to give you an idea. If you want to change it, it's your choice to do so. You can use your own words, your own phrasing. But I would like to suggest that you be careful not to make the letter too long. The shorter the letter could be, the better, because it's going to be more readable. And try not to put other stuff into it, because simpler you make it, again, easier to the point. And we want to encourage more people to do this. So again, the simpler the letter can be made, the better. So the version that I'm going to be proposing to you tonight is not even a final version, because I'm sure other people have better ideas to make it even better, make it shorter, sweeter, to the point, and more effective at the same time. But you'll get the idea of what needs to happen. You will write your congressman, and then when they cannot in any way refute what you say, then you go and send all this communication you had with your congressman. You use that to write your employer and ask them, hey, no more W-4 withholding for me, and no more withholding for me. And that part, of course, will cover next week, the letter to the employer. We're going to cover the letter right now to Congress for tonight. Then, of course, after that, I will do the usual question and answer session. Your questions will be answered about any freedom issue of any kind on these weekly calls for free, whether it's the IRS, the State Income Tax Agency, police, bureaucrats, government employees of any kind who may be trying to steal your money, take away your rights and freedom, enslaving you. Freedom Law School wants to help you stand up against them, know the law, your rights, the proper legal procedures, and live free. So folks, this page right now, of Freedom Law School, okay, you can find it right now by going to this particular page. Later on, I'll be putting it under on our menu of Freedom Law School in a more easier to find page. But right now, again, as usual, get your laptop, get your personal computer, tablet, smartphone near you. The bigger screen, the better. I prefer, you know, using personal computers with big screens. And go to this webpage I'm going to give you to see the letter. Go to livefreenow.org/, at the slash from upper right to bottom left. It's on the keyboard under the question mark, okay, symbol. So livefreenet.org/1825-2. So type that on your computer browser, internet browser. Okay. And once you go there, the page will come, how to stop income tax withholding from wages. All right. So I'll read it with you folks. It's pretty plain. And again, I'll be happy to afterwards answer more of your questions. Again, the letter is not completely done, but you're going to get the gist of it. We're going to finish it next week and go to the employer part next week. In order to stop withholding from your wages or salary, Freedom Law School believes that you should, one, print the relevant laws enacted by U.S. Congress, your House of Representative member, and your two U.S. senators, as found on the website of the U.S. House of Representatives, because they publish the laws, folks, they're for free. Send them to all three of your congressmen and ask them to stop the IRS from wholesale violating the law against you and tens of millions of innocent, uninformed American people. You see, folks, in America, we have a situation where powerful, connected, rich, corrupt politicians like Hillary Clinton can break our most sacred laws, like our national security, okay, and not be prosecuted because they're above the law. They will not enforce the law against one of their own. We have a crooked government now in America. The politicians and bureaucrats cover up for each other. The fix was in for Hillary Clinton not being prosecuted. If you were a sailor, take a picture in a submarine cabin of yourself, you can be prosecuted for taking a picture of a military installation. And people have gone to prison for that. If you take one document out of the government files without permission, you can be prosecuted and then go to prison for that. Hillary Clinton set up the server in her house deliberately, of course, and had thousands and tens of thousands of emails with top secret material illegally moved to her house instead of the government offices where those emails were supposed to go to. And she forwarded those emails to other people, broke many laws, yet they have FBI, Mr. Comey, the head of the U.S. Department of Justice, Loretta Lynch, and the crooked President Obama let her do it. In fact, Obama had to approve the email of Clinton coming from his special place to the White House. Obama knew about it. He is just as guilty. They all should go to jail. But they don't prosecute themselves. Yet at the same time, they have enforced laws on American people that our representatives in government would not dare vote in. The average politician in America never voted, and Congress folks never voted to tax your labor. They never have voted on that and allowed that to happen in the 20th century or 21st century. They've never done that. But because they want your money so badly, they enforce law against you. The government lawyers and the government paid by its crooked judges gang up and declare that, you know, you got to follow up income tax anyhow. Well, folks, those days are over. Because now we can find the law on the internet on our own. You don't have to find a law library in a hard-to-find distant location. Go there, find the law, copy it, take it home, save it for future reference. Otherwise, you may have to go back to the whole process again to look up the same law. You can look up the same law so easily on the internet, and we covered that last week. So, but we want to make sure we go to an extra mile and do our right and our duty to affect change by writing to our congressman. This is the way, folks, we're going to get rid of the income tax. The crooked judges ain't going to do it. Yes, and I mean it. Crooked judges, underline the word crooked. Gutless, treacherous, treasonous, and of course, the U.S. attorneys, U.S. Department of Injustice lawyers, who know the law, but they don't care. They just want more money and career advancement for themselves. Okay, that's all, because the average American doesn't know what's going on. So let's go to the second paragraph of this introduction. If any of your congressmen are able to show that the law you are relying on has been in any way changed, follow the new copy of the law that they provide you. I don't think they can or will, but I'm open, folks. You should always be open to learning and being corrected, right? We all should be that way. Otherwise, demand that they stop the IRS from withholding money from wages of tens of millions of wage earners like you. And then go ahead and send this communication between you and your congressman as a basis of a request from your employer to stop withholding from your paycheck. Below is a sample there to send your congressman. For example, to your senator, Senator Crooked John McCain, right? One of the biggest crooks right now in U.S. Senate, right? Right there, that to that whore, crook, who claims to represent the people but doesn't. But give a ride to him anyhow, folks. If you're in Arizona, you have to write him and Jeff Flake, you know, the other crooked senator from Arizona, right? Wherever it is, California, write to Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. They're supposed to represent you. They don't. But if you're in California, you have to write to them and your House member. So three letters. And you can find the address online, folks. You go online, okay, and write, you know, who is my congressman, who is my senator, it'll come up. They're easy to find on the internet. Maybe you put your zip code on there, and it'll tell you who represents you and their address in Washington, D.C., in the District of Criminals, to write to them. Okay? The letter, of course, from you, Joe, Freedom Seeker, or whatever your name is, your address. Put the date on top, top right. What is the letter about? Straight, folks, we get to the point, we don't mess around. Request that you stop IRS from deceiving and forcing employers to withhold money from paycheck of Americans like me with misuse of the IRS W-4 form. So with that, your representative in government know exactly where you're going. Dear Senator, whatever, McCain. It used to be very difficult to find laws enacted by Congress. A person would have to locate a law library near his house, if there was a law library near his house, drive to the law library, with help of a law librarian, find the law, then copy the law to take home and save in his file to save it for his potential future use so that he would not have to do all of the above again. But now, with the advent of the internet, anyone can find the copy of any law to read for themselves, for ourselves, at the tip of our fingertips on our personal computers or smartphones. As a result, I have been looking up and reading tax laws for myself, especially tax laws, at the website of the U.S. House of Representatives at www.house.gov. I looked up several sections of Title 26 of the United States Code, otherwise known as the IRS Code, which I have questions about from you. I have attached these IRS Code sections in this letter to you. I looked up IRS Code section 7701. Folks, IRS code is very long, but don't worry about it. You can just type it on your computer. As I covered last conference call, type in 26 space USC space 7701 on your internet search browser. Bam! You're going to get that law comes up. Right? And go to the version published by the House of Representatives at house.gov. So I looked up IRS code section 7701, which defines many terms that to a common man like me needs no defining. Terms like person, domestic, stock, United States, state, as well as some uncommon words or definitions like international organization, domestic building and loan association, United States person, or cooperative bank. I also found in IRS code section 7701A16. See, that's a subsection of code section 7701. The definition of withholding agents. And here's a quote, folks. The term withholding agent means any person required to deduct and withhold any tax under the provisions of section 1441, 1442, 1443, or 1461. That's a quote. I found these four code sections here. And folks, you just copy and paste those code sections when you get them off your internet browser. It's a long name, but who cares? Just copy and paste it. It works. So again, you go type in 26 on your internet browser of your computer or smartphone. 26 space USC space 1441. And you're going to get section 1441. For section 1442, the other ones, you do the same thing. Just change the code section number at the end. 26 USC 1442, 26 USC 1443, 26 USC 1461. Just put them all there and copy and paste the results. Okay. So then we continue with the letter, folks. Naturally, I looked up and read code sections 1441, 1442, 1443, and 1461 as well to see if me as an American citizen is subject to the federal income tax withholding. To my amazement, I found that these four sections are about non-resident alien individual, foreign partnership, foreign corporations, foreign tax exempt organizations, not American citizens like me. I also looked up, folks, remember, folks, first time you see this stuff, you were pretty amazed, weren't you? I was. So I want to let the congressman know he's amazed. Guess what? So were you, so were I. Well, we found you were lied to and deceived by the government, by the IRS. I also looked up IRS code section 61, from which taxable income is derived from in IRS code section 63. I found these two sections at, there you go again. You just type up 26 USC 61, 26 space USC space 63, enter. These code sections will come up. Copy and paste them, folks. So you provide these to them. So you let them know that you actually have found and read the law from the government's own website. I was shocked again. In section 61, it lists 18 different items as gross income, such as fees, rents, dividends, royalties, and fringe benefits, but glaringly absent is wages and salaries. All of a sudden, I realized that the average American wage earner and salaried person has been hoodwinked by the IRS and the deep state, who is intent on stealing the money of the American people for the benefit of corrupt banks and corporations who pay for the advertising and election campaigns of politicians, and together appoint and hire the bureaucrats and judges who deliberately misapply the income tax laws on the American people like me. Folks, that's how far the letter so far. I'm going to add more to it. I'll be talking about the case of gold versus gold that we covered last week. 1917 unanimous Supreme Court decision, which clearly says that it's well established that the tax laws got to be very specific what they cover. Nothing can be taxed by implication, by assuming that it must mean this too. And if there's any doubt if a tax law covers something or not, the doubt goes against the government and for the people. The assumption must be the government does not have such a taxing power. That will be discussed in the letter once I finish it, folks. And will be printed part of this. And send your congressman, asking them to show you where are you wrong about this. Of course, they cannot do that. Unfortunately, at this point, we have such a corrupt system that most politicians ignore you. They shouldn't. It's their job not to ignore you. It's their job to answer you, especially when it comes to federal tax laws. You know why, especially with tax laws? Because federal law prohibits you from asking a judge to tell you about your tax obligations, to define your rights and duties under tax laws. If you go to court and ask the judge, "Judge, please, I want to do the right thing. I want to make sure that I follow the law correctly. I don't want to do anything wrong. Would you please help me follow the law correctly?" Guess what? The judge will send you out the door. Yep. He'll send you packing and say, "No, I can't even hear your case." You cannot just bother the judge at all. If you go ask the IRS, well, the IRS will do worse. The IRS will punish you and fine you for $5,000 for submitting a what they consider to be a frivolous question, a frivolous document. So, okay, if that's the case, then the only branch of the government left to answer your questions when it comes to taxes is the legislature, the politicians. Otherwise, we're going to get answers, clarification. The only branch left of the government to answer your questions, clarify your questions, direct you to the right place is the legislature. So you're doing the right thing. That's what you're supposed to do. And remember, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution does not simply guarantee your right to free speech and religion. It guarantees more. It guarantees your right to associate with like-minded people like Freedom Law School, your right to publish material like Freedom Law School does on our website, and it guarantees your right to associate with like-minded people assembled for redress of our grievances against corrupt government, like what we're doing together here. We're getting together to have our grievances. We have a beef with the government, problem with them, complaint. They cannot punish you or me for our effort to reform the government, to straighten them up. This goes to the very heart of American system of representative government. So you can be feel very safe that this method Freedom Law School teaching you will not in any way hurt you. You're doing the right thing. This is your right. This is your duty to write your representative government and straighten them out. And then, like I said, after that, you'll be sending this to your employer. I'm going to go follow up with that. And the further follow-ups that will be necessary, we'll be doing all that later on, because it's going to, you know, be a communication game between employers who are intimidated by the deep state, by the crooked judicial rulers who have explicitly ignored the law written by our lawmakers. Folks, these people don't represent us. The judges don't represent us. The government bureaucrats don't represent you. The politicians, the congressmen, they represent you. They're the ones that must correct this evil system that has developed around us that lies and deceives you and makes you poor. So let's get that going together. So let's go to some of your questions. I know some of you are being patiently waiting to ask some questions you had to ask me. So I'm going to get your questions one person at a time. Remember, folks, if you have a question on your telephone keypad, just I think you push 7, I believe, or 1. Quite frankly, I forgot, but push that test to see how it goes, and you'll let me know you have a question, and I will answer your question one person at a time. And you can maintain your privacy. You don't have to give me your real name. You can give me a pseudonym. That's quite okay with me. All I want to do is answer your question to help you live free and answer the question that other like-minded people like you have about the issue. You can all learn from each other's situations. So let's go to the caller from area code 213. Caller from area code 213, please announce yourself. Tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hello, Payment. This is Steve.
Yes, Steve. You were the call loud recently again, my friend. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. Good to talk to you again. A couple of real quick things. I just wanted to ask you, if I was to call you back during the week and get Joe Bannister's number or leave my number, is there a way you can make sure that we two can talk?
Well, Joe Bannister is very busy, and a lot of people want to talk to him and pick his brain. So there's a reason why, deliberately, he does not make his phone number available on his own website. So if he doesn't do that, then I have to respect that and not give his number out to other people. So if you want to contact him, you can contact him through his website, email him there. And because, you know, he's got to make a living for his family, he cannot just talk to people for free whenever people want to just chit-chat with him and ask him about this, that, the other. You know, so you may want to, if you want to talk to him, pay for his time. for an hour of his time, and then he can take the time to listen to you and address your concerns as best as he possibly can, Steve.
Sure, I could do that. Now, if I call you during the week, can you just forward my number to him, and then we can work out an arrangement, and I can pay him for his services?
Well, I can do that, but I don't want to do that, and it's not necessary for me to do that, my friend. Why should I be a middleman when you can go to his website, agentfortruth.com, freedomabovefortune.com, and fill out the form right there that he has on his website, and I'll get to him directly quicker. If I get busy, I get distracted, I got a lot of stuff to do, and I don't get your email forwarded to him quickly, then I look like a bad guy. And I'm very, very busy right now, my friend. I don't want to be rude to you, but I'm going to be straight with you, my friend. Just go to his website and fill out the form there, contact him through right there directly. You don't need to go through a middleman like me.
Okay, I've done that. Now, I've got another question for you.
Sometimes I email them, and for days I don't hear from him myself either. After several days, I send him a follow-up email or telephone call. So that's how busy he is, you know. So you probably, if he haven't responded to you, well, that's how busy he is. That's why more reason why you, what I suggest you up front, just say, look, I want to send you something for your 1 hour of your time. You do that, he knows you're serious. You know, just pick his brain for free. He'll get back to you probably a little bit quicker that way also. Yes, sir. What else is on your mind?
Okay. When we talk about any type of work, like an average American citizen is not liable for any income tax, like we said. Now, any kind of work, is that just all physical labor? Can that be investments? Can that be this? Does that cover any kind of work that we're doing that we're not a foreign citizen, so we're not liable for any type of income tax?
Well, that's a very big question, my friend. And other conference calls, I do plan to cover that next year with Larry B. Craft, the famous freedom attorney. So rather than getting to that call now, I'd like to invite you to call in January. And I'm going to cover those issues with him. I will have Drew Bannister on these calls at least once a month in January, February, March, and April. So you guys get to talk to him, ask him questions also. Also, we'll have the freedom lawyer, constitutional lawyer, Larry Beecraft, also on these calls at least once a month, January, February, March, April as well. So he's better at that subtopic than I am, quite frankly. And one of the things I've always been good at, Steve, is if I know someone's better at me in doing something, I'd rather go to him or refer you to him. And that's how I got to be better. And I listen to a guy who's smarter than me in that area, more experienced, more knowledgeable. And as a result, I'll become just as good as him in that area because I learned from the best. So this is some people have different opinions on this issue. But basically, to answer your question, yes, your personal labor. You do something, your labor could be your time, your mind, not just your hands, but your mind. If you're an accountant, you could be a teacher. You don't have to pick a shovel, but that's your labor. Whatever you do for a living, your labor is not taxed. That's different, like if you just put some money on investments and then it goes up, you saw there's a gain there. Because you did nothing. You just bought something. You bought some stocks, sat on it for 5 years and sold it. You did nothing there. You just went up. That's different. Complete different thing. Or you bought a company stock and you got dividend profits from that. You did nothing all this time. The company just paid you money and so on. Those could be taxable. But we're talking about the labor of the American people. And even if you work for yourself, Steve, you work for yourself. Many people are self-employed, okay? They work out their own business of something going on. The construction, computers, whatever it is. You're still working. You still got your labor involved. In a way, you're kind of paying yourself a wage and salary for your work. It's no different just because you're paying yourself. So that is no more taxable either than someone who's working for somebody else. You dig the ditch, whether you dig a ditch yourself, someone pays you, or someone hires you, and you dig a ditch. It's the same. Okay, Steve?
question. On your freedom fighter packages and stuff, if I was to be a rep and say I sell those packages and I bring in other people that want to be a, like, royal freedom package and individuals, I know it talks about a 50% you know, commission. But now that wouldn't be taxable, right? I mean, because that's really considered my labor.
Okay, and your question is?
I'm that's what I'm asking you. If I was to get involved with that and bring in reps and sign them up, I'm actually doing labor. It's not like any kind of, I mean, commissions. They wouldn't be taxable either.
You have to actually working for that commission. You're not just sitting.
Right, right.
You know, you have to, you gotta go out there, talk to people, put literature out to people. You're doing things out there with your time, investing your time to get people to come. And, you know, then as a result of that, you get paid on the commission basis versus getting paid hourly, for example. That would not be any more taxable than hourly or salary.
Okay. That sounds like a deal. It's really no different than any other, like, Amway thing or something. But Amway asks for a social, whereas Freedom Law School doesn't.
Freedom Law School does not need an SS number. Neither do Amway,
exactly.
By the way. They don't need an SS number either. They just, you know, they want to, they do, they government intimidation goes a long ways, unfortunately.
All right.
Any other questions, Steve?
No, that's it.
Okay, my friend. Thank you for your question, Steve. Let's go to our next caller. America 281, call of America 281. Please give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. Hello, call from America 281. Are you there? If you are, go ahead and ask your question now. Okay, he's not there, looks like. Call from America 281. We'll come back to him later, perhaps, or your microphone is not working right, my friend. Maybe you can fix it and call back again, and I'll be happy to answer your question. Call from area code 281. Let's go to a call from area code 562 from Long Beach, California area. I used to live out there near you, my friend. Give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Yes, sir, Mr. Plumman.
Paymon.
This is
Paymon,
that's how you pronounce it? Okay.
Yeah.
I was doing some research, and because of my
what is your name?
Situation,
what is
Paul?
Your name?
Paul.
And how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Paul?
I was doing some research based on my current situation pertaining to the tax. And I was on YouTube, and you happened to pop up, and then I continued listening to you, and I was following you, and then I made some attempts to get in contact with you, and I got some email messages and whatnot. So I was told that today you had a open call, and I said I'll decide to give you a call to discuss my my situation.
Very good, my friend. What is your situation, Paul?
Okay. The thing is, I have a side business that I do, a business consultant, and also I am a construction worker. And what I did was I had some contracts that I had got, but the thing was, they wasn't allowing me to work as a subcontractor because of being the contract that I had with the union. And they said, well, if you had a insurance bond over $1 million, then we can you know, do business with you. But since you don't, we're gonna have to get you as an employee, pay you as a W-2. So when I filed my taxes, I I explained that with my filing with the IRS, and for a year, 2009-2010, everything was okay, but it came back. They did an audit, and they asked me for the necessary documents and whatever to prove. So I told them.
Who asked you for what documents about what? Be more specific, please.
The IRS wanted my, you know, when they do an audit and they have to, you have to send them the documents to prove that, you know, everything that you have filed is in correct standing. So
okay.
The first tax auditor agreed with doing the amendment and with all the documentation that I was supposed to send, and they switched me over to another tax auditor. He agreed also, and then they when I send the other rest of the documents, they switched me over to a third tax auditor, and he didn't agree with the filing process that I did. So then I've been back and forth with them, trying to do with audit recon, back and forth for some years now. Even up to this point, I'm still in process with them in it. And the same thing also with 2013 and 14. So now it's all combined. I'm working with them, combining with all those tax years, and now they want to kind of like, they're not listening to anything that I've filed, and they want me to pay pretty much for the amount of tax that they, you know, required. And so now I'm deciding, well, okay, I heard that I can either file bankruptcy on those on that situation, and or I can do a offer and compromise, you know. So I was wondering if with your program, what do you think will be the best situation for that?
I don't know enough about this situation, my friend, to give you an answer. Okay, I gotta look at your paperwork, my friend. The devil is in the details, Paul. I can't help you, my friend. I can tell you that. Definitely I can help you. But I've got to see exactly what this is all about, why they three different people said they didn't like your paperwork. Okay, maybe you can challenge it. And it looks to me like they should have sent you a notice of deficiency to give you an opportunity to challenge the IRS and tax court. From what you tell me, sounds like that did not happen. But maybe it did, but
right.
You didn't know that you could have done that.
Well,
you lost that opportunity. I don't know. I can look at all the stuff that you did or did not do, and then I can determine what to do.
Yeah, well, for the time that we've been going back and forth, since it's been going back and forth to audit recon and within the collection department and whatnot, I was told that I missed. Well, I didn't miss it, but I still have that opportunity to take it to tax court. But within this situation right now, and then I'm in a bind also with also my credit card debt and all the debts that I have. I was just thinking the best thing to do is file bankruptcy. I was wondering if you do that, like, do you think that would be the better way to just go ahead and do that so I can start afresh, or?
That's a possibility. You know, bankruptcy may be actually a solution for you. If it's for years 2009 through 13, you file for those years, it's in over 2 years, so certainly that's like a, could be a viable option. There's some negatives to that bankruptcy we have to look at more closely, because in bankruptcy chapter seven, for example, any assets you have will be liquidated. In Chapter 7, you cannot get out of that bankruptcy without the court's permission, okay, which you have by without a trustee's agreement. The trustees often don't let you out. They steal everything else that you have, you know, and I don't know enough about your situation to tell you that would be safe thing for you to do the opposite. People go to bankruptcy thinking, I'm going to do this, that, the other, and bam, they're stuck in Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and the trustee rips off everything they got, and they sell it for cheap to others. And they went from a bad situation to worse. But a bankruptcy, if those issues are not a problem in your case, could be a very powerful tool. Again, my friend, I got this, your paperwork. So what you want to do is send me a copy of all your paperwork you have, Paul. I don't care if it's 10 pages or 1,000 pages. Send it all to me, organized. Everything about different tax years in separate folders. 2009, separate from 2010, from 12, 13. Write me one paragraph if you want, or two pages, up to you, about your situation. Give me a good overview. Send that along with $240 cash only to Freedom Law School with your phone number. So you'll be called and they can get on the phone for 1 hour. I can scan through your papers quickly and identify the relevant documents. See, that's the thing. I can scan through 1,000 pages, my friends. See what's the relevant part, talk to you, and analyze it and tell you, this is what you got, this is your problem, and these are your solutions. A,
right.
B, and C. And each of them have benefits, costs, and risks. I'll explain all of it
okay,
to you, my
now,
friend.
Now.
And you go from there. Yes.
Okay. So now, on the bankruptcy situation, does that also cover the state?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And the 240 is for the consultant?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, another question. I'm not really from this country, and I have I'm a green card holder, like permanent resident. Now you mentioned about the tax law doesn't apply to the citizen. Now if in my situation like that, would I be able to utilize these codes that is being presented as far as citizen wise, where the tax is not imposed on citizens?
Yes. Basically, if you have a green card, you are a permanent resident of America, you are a resident alien. That's exactly what you're an alien that lives in America. And as a resident alien, you have almost all the rights of an American. You cannot vote, for example, and a few other minor things, but for the most part, all the laws and benefits that apply to you as citizens apply to you as well.
Okay. So because early on, you were calling a lot of codes, and that it doesn't apply to the U.S. citizen, only to, you said the state, I mean the, I forget what, help me out. The tax only goes to
foreigners, non-resident aliens.
Yeah.
You reside in America. Okay, Paul, you reside in America. That IRS code section 1441 was about non-resident aliens. Aliens that do not live or reside in America. Not you.
Oh, okay.
You are a resident alien.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
You reside in America.
All right, now, all right. Now, the other thing is, I had for 2016, being in the situation that I said, I had told them that I was statutory employee. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
You know what a statutory employee is? Okay.
Okay.
I had mentioned it to one of the representatives at one point in conversation when I was speaking with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they kind of use that in with the future recalling in 2016. They sent me some information saying that I need to show proof that I'm a statutory employee to, because I file like with a Schedule C and a statutory employee. So they're saying they need to show proof from my employee that I'm a statutory employee. Now, the phrase that is used as a statutory employee, it has to fall under certain guidelines. Now, being working under a subcontractor, it's pretty much I'm not permanent working for the company. In other words, I'm with the union, right? But the union sub me out with a particular construction company, and then they pay me. So in naturality, I'm a statutory employee, right?
Okay. So what's all this about? So what's the point of that?
Okay. The point is, I want to know, being a statutory employee, right? If I'm under the union contract, and the union sub me out as an employee, I wouldn't say employer. I would want to say employee, because they sub me out to a contracting company. Let's say Bechtel, right? But Bechtel pay, they give me a W-2. But I'm actually under the contract of being in a union. Isn't that considered a statutory employee?
Okay, I need to go over that with you in a private one-on-one detailed consultation to look up these things you're talking about. Okay, the statutory, that's a very big, huge term. For what purpose, my friend? You know, but I'm familiar with that because I know you're from Long Beach, California. I used to live out in California. So I got to go over that with you in that consultation to see exactly what it means, how it relates. You got so many good questions, my friend, that we're going to go over, my friend. And you're going to find that 1 hour very well worth your time to help you understand what you got going on and what to do.
Because I would really like to implement the laws that direct me into that particular defense that I can utilize for the future filing, you know?
You got it, my friend.
Okay.
So let's talk. Okay, get your stuff together. Send it to me. You can probably mail it or express mail it. We go over it. You know what? After you get your package, within 24 hours. Okay?
Okay, so I can reach you at the other number?
You don't reach me. Usually I have other volunteers who answer the call for me, but you can reach somebody who answers the phone for me. This is the only time that I make myself definitely available every week to everybody who's on these calls for free. Otherwise, I'm so busy, I have other volunteers that help answer phones for me.
Right. So let me get it clarified. So I'm getting all my years put together with a package and then send you the 240, and then from there you'll contact me.
Yes, put your phone number there and get your paperwork organized by year, newest on top, oldest at the back, because you want to pay me to organize your paper. Organize it yourself. You want to pay me for my knowledge and experience and solution skills, you know, so get it organized nicely. Maybe write me a short cover letter, as long as detailed as you want. It's up to you. And then we get on the phone and really go over all those things and solve all these problems for you. Okay.
Okay. So the number 8183444800. I can call and get the address that I needed to send it to and all that.
Yes. Yes. And it's all on our website. Is there at PO Box 10599, Brooksville, Florida 34603. Is also listed on our website at livefreenow.org.
All right. Okay, then. All right. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you so much. You're
most welcome, Paul.
A lot of
Paymon. I'm Paymon. Motadi, I'm the president and founder of Freedom Law School.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. You've eased a little bit of tension that's been palpitating in my brain.
Well, I hope to ease a lot more of it after you and I have some time to spend together going over your questions and situation, my friend.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
You all enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
My pleasure. Okay. Same with you, my friend. Have a good evening. Let's go to the caller we have from area code 816. Call from area code 816. Please give me your first name. How you heard about
my name
law
is-
school? Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've known about you for like about 8 years now.
I
listened to your calls a while. Yeah, through Joseph Bannister's. I got informed about him on the internet when I was searching for the tax information, tax freedom information, and I think I first learned about him through his website, Freedom Above Fortune. And just kind of led into you, and I think after about a year of just reading your stuff, I finally ordered your Freedom Package. And since then, I mean, I hadn't paid taxes since 2005, and that's when I was studying tax laws and statutory laws, and I was really getting into the Patriot Movement. And learning about what's really going on with the laws in this country and finding out the history of it all. And sure, I got in trouble with the IRS, but I didn't have to pay any taxes. They sent me letters for like 7 years, and then they finally quit. And so I haven't paid taxes since then, but I'm still learning. I'm still interested, and I'm interested in teaching other people everything that I've learned, thanks to you. And so my question is, if I start telling people that they don't have to pay income taxes, and they go to their employer with this information and their letter from their congressman or whatever, and their employer, when they stop taking taxes out, they end up reducing what they pay the employee. What can you do? I mean, can you take legal action against your employer for reducing the amount of pay? Say I'm working for someone for $12 an hour, and I give them all this information, and they reduce my pay down to $6 an hour. Is there anything you can do about that?
That's a very good question. Bottom line, asking, can you sue your employer for taking your money out of your paycheck? And unfortunately, no. The crooked system, the way it's done, there's the IRS code section that protects and gives immunity from lawsuits to any victim of the IRS. IRS code section 6332E. Okay, so if the employer takes anything from you under 6332E, they are protected. So you cannot sue the employer for having taken your money. The crooked judge's attitude is, hey, if there's a problem, you know, that's okay. File return, get your money back. You know, that they've put it on you. Let's just keep the money, roll it into government employers, steal the money from the employee slaves, you know, they can get it back later from the IRS. That's how it works, my friend, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, that's good. So it ends up you having to sue the IRS to get your money back every year?
And to sue them, they insisted you follow 1040 income tax confession form, basically.
Okay. Okay, not a problem. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, my friend. I wish we could do that. You know, that's not one of the things that we could do. There's a few of these very crooked laws. The other one is the IRS Code Section, you know, the Anti-Injunction Act. I think IRS Code Section 7214. You cannot sue the IRS, for them taking your money. This is very, very strict limited situations, and you can go after the IRS. So that's,
yeah, so
that's
the,
how it, this is, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the best thing to do is just not to tell your employer anything, and then just deal with the IRS directly so that the IRS can send you the money that was taken out from taxes.
Well, yeah, exactly. The employer is the middleman in this whole equation. And once he's
okay.
stolen your money, he's out of the equation.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Payman. I appreciate all the work you do. God bless you, man.
You're welcome. What's your name? You never told me your name.
Yeah, I said Jeff.
Jeff, I didn't hear it. Okay, very good. Thanks for calling, Jeff. I appreciate that. Let's go to our next caller from America 347. Call from America 347. Go ahead and give us your first name and then your question, please.
Frederick.
Say it again, please.
Frederick.
Speaker, I can barely hear you.
Give me a second. Jesuit, can you hear me?
Jesuit?
Frederick.
Frederick, okay, Frederick. Yes, Mike, how did you hear about Keenum Law School and how may I be able to assist you?
I've heard of Keenum Law School for some time now. My question is, back in the late 90s, in New York City, there's been an aggressive move to go after people who would try not to, you know, as they say, pay their fair share, and apparently they had the courts and other agencies in cahoots with that effort. How would this method now be any effective if back then, you know, people were trying to, you know, exercise their right not to pay what they didn't know?
Well, what I covered tonight only applies stopping withholding from your future paycheck. Okay. It doesn't apply any past issues you may have had with the IRS or a state income tax agency like New York Department of Revenue. That's a whole different game, my friend. You have an issue with them going on right now?
No, not at the moment. But my concern is that once you start to implement this process, I would think that there would be a pushback to stop this from happening, because they figure they would always try to make an example of someone in order to discourage anyone else from doing it.
I understand that. You know, bottom line is that, look, you know, there are many people who believe in the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that say the criminals have taken over. And we just need to take the guns and shoot them out and kill them. They're traitors to our cause. We need to have another revolution, just like the founding fathers had back in the late 1700s. And I do understand the point they're making. You know, however, the problem is, even if you want to do that, not enough Americans have an idea that we have a bunch of treacherous, sell out corrupt people have taken over U.S. government. So you need to expose their corruption and get a lot more public support, even if you wanted to pick up arms, which I do not recommend at this time. I recommend that we do what the founding fathers intended, which is you exercise your First Amendment rights first. If that doesn't work, give it your best shot, just like the founding fathers did, then would be a time to consider Second Amendment option two. Right now, I don't believe we have done a good job of exercising our First Amendment rights. The way to do that, right to free speech, association, assembly, publish, redress agreements to reform our government. And I think with Donald Trump and the president, an outsider, You know, this is the biggest change I've seen out there. It's the reason the whole major corrupt media of the establishment is against Trump, because the media is owned by the established powers. Again, they don't want an outsider to mess up their gravy train they have had going on for many decades to rip off the American people and rich, the big banks, the corporations that own the politicians and the media. So let's give it our best shot before we go to Second Amendment, my friend. Okay. And, you know, they may ignore you. I understand that. But let's publicize how outlaw they are by giving them the actual photocopy of the law. Says, look, here's a law published by the legislature. You're going to go against that? See, when you put the law straight in their face, it has a much more power. They cannot have a harder time, much harder time to ignore it. They could still, but much harder. Because look at that law right there. See, the past pages would quote laws, the code section. And you're right, and often they quote the laws wrong. So they ignore the people. Not now. Now we can quote the law exactly from the legislature's own website. And that's hard to argue with. Okay, Frederick?
I would like to, is there a way I can get, see, when you was citing the particulars, the statute and what have you, you was really going through it real fast and didn't have time to write it all down.
Listen to the call from last week. You are absolutely right. This is part two. Last week was part one. Go to liftfreedom.org under weekly calls. Drop down, you see the weekly calls. Click on there. Previous week's calls will come, and the last week's call is part one. Listen to that first. I will go through all this stuff slowly there. So tonight is the build-up on part one. My friend. I didn't want to repeat part one.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That's why. You're absolutely right.
So,
you listen to part
one
first,
freedom.
Part two.
So it's freedom, freedomlawschool.org.
No. Live free now.
Oh, live free now. Okay.
Livefreenow.org. On the weekly calls, drop them on the top. Click on that.
Got you.
That'll take your blog, type in week calls. Click on it, and you'll take all the calls I've done for the with blog talk radio for the last year or so. Okay. And you definitely want to get the call we had on December 7th, 2017, part one on this subject.
Okay. Okay. Liftfreenow.org. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You are welcome, Frederick. Let's go to our call from area code 731. Call from area code 731. Give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Yeah, my name is Joe, and I have a question about, I am 74 years old, and I want to start a ministry, small ministry out of my, at my home. And I have some individuals that want to give toward that ministry, and they're asking for a tax-exempt receipt. Can I give them one? What do I need to give them one?
Just give them a receipt from your church, your ministry.
So
the churches do not need the recognition of IRS or number. Okay, any question comes up, they can, you know, IRS can contact you. You have a ministry, a home-based church, that's fine. They can do, you know. See, what IRS code section, you know, 508, write this down. Put on your computer, 26 space, USC, space, 508. Okay, and under section 508, subsection C1A, it says that churches are specifically exempted from having to apply to the IRS to be recognized as nonprofits or tax-exempt institutions. So you can print that law if you want. I just gave you how to do it. And print it out and give it to the people who want to give to your church. So here it is. You don't need a number from my church if you just donate to it and get your tax deduction that you want. Although you could tell them there's no law requiring you to file for income tax if you're an American in the first place.
All right. Do I need an EIN number?
I just said that you don't.
Okay. Very well. All right. That was the question I had. And could you repeat that?
Code section is 26 space USC space 508.
508.
Now, code section 508. When it comes up, okay, then you scroll down to subsection C1A. Scroll down to that. So you go down to 508C1A. Okay, my friend?
All right. Thank you very much. And God bless you in what you're doing.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking. Freedom Law School is part of Freedom Church, for example, as well. So I know about this stuff because, you know, I have to research it out for myself. So thanks for your good question. Good luck with your ministry, Joe. Let's go to call from area code 856. Call from area code 856. Give me your first name, okay, and how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hello, Paymon. My name is Ron. I first heard of Freedom Law School and of you through an internet search. 8-10 months ago or so, I came across your website, got on your email list. I've been listening to these calls ever since. The area that I would like to ask about deals with the IRS and with taxes, tax compliance, but in the area not with employee-employer relationships, but specifically with capital gains tax, long-term, short-term capital gains. So instead of being dealing with an employee-employer arrangement, this would be an investor with a brokerage house or an exchange. And specifically, what I'm interested in these days is the, since 2009, 2010, with the virtual currencies, the digital currencies with Bitcoin and other altcoins, whereby, of course, when you first get into that venue and you want to be an investor, you have to register with an exchange, and of course that enters you into like the FACTA and the AEI and all sorts of regulations where they want all of your personal information, and then that creates, that has an ongoing paper trail. Anyway, what I would like to ask you is what, if any, contact you have had through your business with people who have had capital gains issues, whether it be with traditional investments like stocks, bonds, commodities, futures contracts, or altcoins, bitcoins, that type of thing. I do know, I am aware of that the IRS issued guidance on the treatment of the Bitcoin and other digital currencies in their March 2014-21 notice. I've read that notice. They've clarified their position that they treat digital currencies as capital gains assets and therefore subject to capital gains taxes. They're treated as property, not as currency. So, you know, that's a non-issue. I'm just curious as to how people have treated this, if they have basically stood up to that, as they do in the tax movement with other, you know, with wages, that type of thing, with other income. And if they have stood up to it and had not complied, have not gone along with compliance, how they have fared. if you have any.
I have not dealt with people in, that make a significant amount of money in stocks, bonds, or commodities. I've dealt with many people who try to invest in those things and lose money. Okay?
Sure.
People come to me on that a lot. And I don't generally recommend people invest in stocks, bonds, or commodities of any kind, because the average American is the one that loses. The big institutions with a lot of big money are the ones that are the gainers in that field.
Well, I totally agree. I'm totally aware of that, and I'm very astute in that area. I realize that 96% of everyone who participates in that market loses money. So I'm very aware of that. I would give the same advice to anybody that you have to do a lot of study, practice.
And but I was saying that for the point that I don't have a lot of answers for you, my friend, because, you know, I've not really researched that issue as well. But I can tell you this. What I can tell you that I've seen a lot of deception and lies and corruption in the income tax system. Technically, they could tax a gain from stock or bond gain or selling of bitcoins. They can do that. Now, whether they've done that in the code, I've never at this point taken a really closer look at the IRS codes and regulations, the Federal Register, to go after that issue in much more detail, because I have not had a need to it. Very few Americans have enough money to invest a significant amount for me to look at that. I've looked at people who are self-employed, employees, small businesses, and that's much, much more common than someone who gets a good amount of money from activities like yours. And I wish I could give you a better answer now, but I don't.
Yeah, I thought I would ask you because obviously, I mean, I could go to a tax attorney or CPA and I could ask them, but I'm going to get the general line, of how things are going to go. And I thought I would come to you and ask first if you had any experience with anyone at all, but you've said you have not. So I guess that's the end of the conversation. But I was just curious.
Yeah, it is. But I do kind of do more. I'm doing more research in that and some other areas in the coming months. So at that time, hopefully, if you contact me in a few months, I'll probably have a better answer for you at that time.
Well, I realize now that I don't know if anyone knows on this call, but certainly this year, since the beginning of this year, Bitcoin has gone to the stratosphere. It has gone up over 1,000%. There have been many cryptocurrencies and altcoins that have went up 20,000, 40,000% in the last few years, made people millionaires and billionaires. But that aside, just recently the IRS has gone to the largest exchange, which is Coinbase, and they have recently asked for records. So they're starting to attack the sector. And that's why I was asking you, because I thought there may be somebody that has already asked you about this and maybe you have done a little bit of research. But they've already gone to Coinbase, which is the largest exchange, and they've asked for the records of 20,000 people. That's just as a precursor to going full blown. So they're going to look at this and they're going to study it for a little while. Then they're going to come back and they're going to maybe do a full blown across the whole sector, all the exchanges, and go from there. But that's why I'm looking at it, to see, you know, where this is going from here, because I've stayed away from it. I've studied that sector. I know how to invest in it. I know that I've lost lots of money by not investing in it, but also I don't want to get caught in that trap where it's like a never-ending. I mean, you have to do record keeping. That's unbelievable. They have an actual new online accounting system called Bitcoin Taxes, and it's like a nightmare. You have to track these things. Any usage of these, whether it be spending or trading or just a complete history, you have to account for every time that changes hands, because you can use Bitcoin and you can buy other Bitcoins. You can use Bitcoin to make payments to somebody like Amazon.com. You know, it goes on and on. And I know that there's most of the people who deal in that area don't do this. So I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen to all these people. There's liable to be hundreds of thousands of people that get caught in this bear trap, and it's going to be really ugly. So that's why I was asking. I kind of thought that you might have come across somebody by now, but I guess not.
No, but I can tell you this. this gun's going to go off for a while longer. And then, I would say if you got it, I would say liquidate some of your money now in case of the crash. You don't lose it all, my friend, because the timing of it is going to be critical. And there's going to be exit for the doors at one time because a lot of multi-level companies, network market companies, I know have been pushing this thing. And I think that's what people don't realize. That's a big factor behind this Bitcoin going up. It's becoming its own
thing for investors. Everything is a balloon. I mean, we've seen the balloons all through history. And of course, just in recent history, you know, we went through the dot-com. We went through the real estate boom in 2008, 2009. Now we're in the largest upward trend boom of all time, almost. Within another few months, it'll be the biggest all-time upward market in the stock market. That's going to crash. The Bitcoin thing will go on for another couple of years. It'll eventually crash. I agree with you. Everything does. Yeah. You can't go up forever.
It's
good advice for everybody listening here, but I do know that people who are astute in this are making lots of money. I'm just curious how they're getting away with
not paying any tax. If you get hold it and don't liquidate anything, it went crash, so you don't make any money. You got to actually at some point liquidate it.
Yeah.
Before
the only way that you're
like housing prices, you know, same thing. So yes, on paper they made money, but it's important that they'd be liquidated before the market goes down, and that's the toughest part. Is to when to
and
liquidate.
That's the part. Yeah, when you create a paper trail is when you change fiat currency into the altcoin, and then you then have to at some point or want to at some point. That's the point of it, is to be an investor and make profits, and then when you take profits, then you have to convert that digital currency back into fiat currency to use in our everyday traditional market. To purchase everyday goods and services. That's where they get you on the back end as well, because now you have to report that as a capital gains, because now you're back in the real world buying real estate, cars, whatever it might be, and then you have to report it. Now, people I know are not reporting it because they're doing it in many different ways, circumventing the law, and I don't advocate that.
I got to move on to other calls, my friend. Let's talk about that in more detail, my friend, okay? Yeah, people
great. Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, my friend. Okay, folks, let's go to our next caller. We have from area code 347, prefix 785. Yet another
Hello?
Caller. Yes, yes, sir.
Hello.
What is your name, my friend?
Mm-hmm. How you doing? Kenny.
Good.
I'll find you
Kenny,
on YouTube.
Very good, Kenny. Person who listens,
I have a question. I'm going to open a business online, and anybody can post anything for renting. Do I need the tax ID, or I don't have to pay the tax?
Well, what would you need a tax ID for?
No, I'm just asking, because, you know, my business is going to be online. Anybody can have any personal stuff in the house. They can post it online. Anybody can rent them. Just like Airbnb, you know, if you have any tools in your house, you can post it. Your next neighbor can rent them from you.
Okay. Well, you're going to need a tax ID number, either you yourself or your company, whether your company is a corporation, partnership, limited liability company, trust, whatever. Because to accept credit cards and debit cards online, the bank and the bank will get want you that. That's why. The bank will want you.
No, I use PayPal and with the personal banking account. I don't use the bank business account. I use PayPal and with my regular banking account.
Well, if your PayPal is good, then use PayPal. Then you're good.
So that means I don't need those crap and IA stuff.
If that works for you, my friend, if the PayPal thing works for you, then you don't give him no number, then you're good. You don't need anything more. You're doing fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome, my friend. Okay, folks, we answered many people's questions. We have an anonymous caller who's been on the phone for a while waiting to ask a question. but his number doesn't show up. He shows a bunch of 111. So I hope I'm going to unmute you, my friend, and hopefully you can know it's you that I'm offering to the opportunity to ask your question and ask your question. So if you've been waiting, anonymous number which shows 111, go ahead and announce yourself now, my friend.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Who is this?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Steve.
I can
again.
Hear you now.
Hey, yeah, very good. I wanted to find a way in which we can
What's your name?
Contact with. This is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
I wanted to ask you, the caller that had just made a call about the Bitcoin, there's got to be a way in which we can get in touch with each other. Can I leave a number with you after this call, and he will call back, I hope, if he's still listening, because I really need to speak with him. I've got the same problem he's got with the altcoins and what to do. We got mutual problems.
Sure. Call back. I'll put you guys in touch. Phil Moss will put you guys in touch.
Sounds good.
Just call back. Say this is Steve. You know, give me a number, and you are calling for Ron, right?
That's right.
Right. Okay. No problem. You got it. Anything else, Steve?
No, that'll do it. I see the same problems that he's got. We made a lot of money, but what do we do? You know, it's like
liquidate your money now. Let me give you an example. Well, you guys were talking, okay? I went online and I just looked up some Bitcoin price, okay, historical chart. And yes, you guys are right. Bitcoin has gone up quite a bit. Just to give everybody else an idea what we're talking about, you know, this chart shows that Bitcoin, you know, in as of, you know, January of this year was only just over $800. As of April was about 962. As of August, it was down to under 600. But now it's over 16,000. So here we have from mid-July until mid-December, in 5 months, you know, going from, let's see, how much is Bitcoin then? I'm sorry, from 2,000, you know, going to 16,000. So I would say, don't be greedy. Liquidate some of your profits, 10%, 20%, 40%, whatever you're comfortable with, so in case the rest goes down, you don't kick yourself in the butt that you waited for too long and lost it all. That's all. That's the basic thing I suggest. It's up to you, subjective to you, and depending on what price you bought it when. Well, I would say it's gone up so much. It's gone up especially in the last, since just like mid-November last month, went from 4,000 to over 16,000. So you quadrupled your money already. So everyone should at least, in my opinion, cash out 25% of your money profits right now. 25% of what you own, you make, cash it right now. Get your principal that you put in there out of the game now. And you can ride the rest of it a little bit longer. Another couple, 3 months, cash up 25% of what you made then. Okay. I used to be an investment advisor 30 years ago. And this is a smart, safe way, my friends, to make some money and don't be disappointed. Okay? All right. Thank you for your question, my friend. I appreciate that, Steve. All right, folks. If anybody else have any questions, oh, let me see. We got another caller. No, I think we answered everyone's questions tonight. Very good. Folks, on this issue of withholding money from your paycheck is one that I've been developing, and I'm going to develop this further, folks. I will be doing part 3 of this call on how to stop your employer from stealing taxes from your paycheck, okay? We're going to get into this issue more deeply. If you have not listened to part 1, be sure to do that. That was last week's call, December 7th, 2017, conference call at Freedom Law School. With that, folks, I want to thank you all for joining me on this call tonight and invite you to go to our YouTube channel, Blog Talk Radio. A lot of free information there on our weekly calls that we've done. Check out Freedom Losses courses and freedom packages from A Practical Road to Freedom Level 1 for $300 only, all the way to Royal Freedom Package, where you can have all the letter of responses done for you at no extra charge, all included, to get the thieves in the IRS off your back to live free. So with that, share this call with other people. The recording of it will be up very soon. And I hope to be back with you next Thursday night. Good night, everybody.